Hallelujah.
In a moment of time, through prayer, we want to set our hearts right to travel in the counsel of God. I would like to request that we offer a prayer that the Lord should grant us understanding, that He may quicken the eyes of our understanding. Can we pray this morning? Open the eyes of our understanding. Open the eyes of our understanding. Open the eyes of our understanding. Grant unto us insight. Grant revelation. Grant understanding. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. If you can, you may be seated. Let's do Bible study for 35 minutes. Bible study for 35 minutes. Please help me make your neighbor welcome to the house of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, our reference scripture, as you all know, is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, from verse 17 to 19. Matthew, chapter 16, from verse 17 to 19. Just want to do Bible study. Hallelujah. Just want to do Bible study. Amen. Amen. Once more, I welcome all of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Fred, help me. After 10 minutes, you start. Okay? Matthew chapter 16 from verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We had a 5-day Bible study before the conference, just to intimate the people of God in the house of the purpose of the church. Why is it that you were not raptured into heaven the day you turned your life over to Jesus? What exactly was the intent of God? Hallelujah. So we did an elaborate study on this particular scripture. But the emphasis I want to bring is not what we treated in the study. First of all, we need to do definition of terms. Hallelujah. Definition of terms. English language has compromised the gravity of the word translated church. That word can only exist in a certain context. If it is removed from that context, it doesn't carry the momentum of the intent of God in deploying the use of that word. The word ekklesia, which is translated church from the original Greek setting, is a word that can only be considered within the context of kingdom and government. Are you still with me? All right. Now, you see, the Babylonian system of rulership was that if the Babylonian army conquers a particular territory, they will take all the people that survived the slaughter back to Babylon as slaves. But the Roman system was a little bit different. The Romans don't need to do any transportation. The Romans don't even want to increase the population of their central city. And so what the Romans do is that they send the ecclesia to the new territory that has been conquered. Are you with me? The ecclesia, because that word is a government terminology within the context of its usage. Now, if we isolate it from its original habitat, we are losing touch with the gravity of its essence. Now, so the ecclesia is sent from the central or the capital of the nation. Now, the ecclesia is in three departments. We get the justice, someone that will serve and defend the constitution of the central government, because they will establish that same kind of government within the new territory. And that's why we had Pilate. He was the wise man that would interpret justice in the light of the constitution of the Roman Empire. Then we also had a governor. That's why we have Herod. Then we also had the commander or the centurion. The military might, because you cannot talk about an army outside of the fact that it's an extension of a kingdom. Now the setting in view here is the setting of kingdom and government. The church cannot, must not be considered outside of that context. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, so we need to do definition of terms. Within the crucible of kingdom, government, and dominion. Now, you see, we had and felt a leading from the Lord to put forth a call to the body of Christ in this region and beyond this region, because there are many people, many of our brethren in different parts of the world that are part of this service, because we are streaming it. Now we are putting this call to the body of Christ, to the people of God, to come back and stand back so that we can look at our original charter and Magna Carta and find out if our civilization is within the context of our definition and essence. The reason is because there is a shortfall in understanding. The fact that, you know, those days on campus, we used to do student union, and we had a mighty following. But there was no God within the context of that union. Because the union is not structured in such a way that it has the capacity to carry the burden of kingdom and government. It carries a perspective of politics and influence. That cannot be the ecclesia, even though there is a gathering. Are you understanding? All right. Now, so we need to do basic definition of terms before we launch out. I don't think we can go beyond definition of terms this morning, but every morning we'll just take a shot. Just a shot. Bible study. You know, it's no longer popular for people to sit down and say, we just want to study the Bible. Yeah, but we'll try as much as possible to do that, if God helping us. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, the tone of Jesus in these few scriptures where we read is strange. The tone is very forceful and definite. And all the colors of the rainbow are part of this discourse. It's just three verses, but it captures the gate of hell as far as the region of Hades. There were a few times where in scripture where Jesus spoke about Hades, the government that operates in the regions where the power of death is what rules. Now, there were heavy things that Jesus invoked in this scripture. And so, if we do not consider the church within the context of kingdom and government, we don't even understand what we are doing. You see, the devil was aware of the capacity, potential, and potency of the church that could eventually emerge if we rediscover our masculinity. And that's why he raised people like Constantine. I will tell you what the rise of Constantine did to our structure. Because from that time, and that's many years ago, and so several things happened, and an evolution took place that has distorted our structure. But if we want to do business with God, we need to go back to the wells that our ancient fathers dug. And that is where we can get the reference point of the scope of the covenant that we are doing business with. Please forgive me, but there is so much noise in this city that is not church. Forgive me for that. There is so much noise in our nation, our country, our campsites, that is not church. And I know you will say, what is the size of the congregation that I preach to? As a means of trying to find out if I have the authority to say the things that I am talking this morning. If you stay long enough, your spirit will sense the authority I have from Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, so let's do basic definition of terms. Are you with me? First of all, Jesus speaks about gates. Now, the context is militant. The setting is aggressive. The words deployed here are potent. And so we need to get into the context from the linguistic perspective. What was Jesus' idea of gates? You need to know the wisdom of God is weaved into the entire scripture. And so we don't need a comprehensive Webster's dictionary to get the meaning of a word in scripture, because scripture explains scripture. It was in the school of theology that we were made to understand how relevant the use of a dictionary is in understanding scripture. Hallelujah. Amen. I heard there was a theologian that came yesterday and was, when Reverend preaches, you know, his phone has commentaries and all of that. You now check against the
You see, that's what happened to us eventually. That's not revelation. Are you aware that Dix, the family of Dix, the guy that wrote the commentary on the annotated, Dix annotated reference Bible, do you know that when he died, his family had to gather elders in the body of Christ in U.S. to apologize for his commentary? Yes. That was the scripture let's leave it. You don't know how far some of us have gone in search of truth. And you are carrying Matthew Henry Bible commentary and you think you have that demon that came to our land to deprive us of the heritage of God. You are still basking in his birthday party. And you think that's not the knowledge of God. You must have the capacity to command deliverances unto Jacob. You see, we have accepted a cheap gospel. Cheap Christianity. Christianity without depth and capacity. But that's not the call of our generation. Our generation has a specific call. Hallelujah. As we progress, God will help us to look at that call. We cannot fulfill it just as being scholars. Scholars of revelation born by flesh and blood. We need something deeper. And that's why we need the helper. Now, so let's do definition of terms. Those days in Israeli settlements and communities. Hallelujah. In Israeli settlements, in Israeli communities, there's a practice that is done. The elders of Israel were a significant part of the culture that took place among the people. I hope you know what it takes to become a man in Israel. That is somebody that people can release their daughter to marry in Israeli culture. In Israeli culture, you become a man if you can recite the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You should be able to recite it offhand. And the day you are reciting it, there will be doctors of the law, people that have written at least 5 scrolls of scripture. Most of them were left-handed. In fact, if you are born left-handed, it means you are likely to join the community of the scribes. For you to be a scribe, you have to be. Now, before, whenever you are writing scripture, and in the original scroll, there's no punctuation. That's for another day. Are you with me? When you reach the name of God, Jehovah Elohim, the scribe will go and take his bath first. Before he comes to continue. So somebody that has done that and written 5 scrolls of what? The word of God. Now qualifies to become a doctor of the law. It is expected that such a person must have absorbed the word of God into his thoughts such that he thinks in scripture. Those are the people that will be on the desk the day you come to defend your manhood. Jesus did that at the age of 12. Now, when you finish reciting the Torah, they will ask you questions from any part of it. But the day Jesus was presented to become a man, the order was changed. Because according to scripture, the Bible says he was asking questions and answering. Now, we were expecting that the doctors should be the ones doing what? So that he will what? Unfortunately, after reciting the Torah, he presented some questions, and because the doctors of the law could not answer it, he had to eventually answer. So the doctors of the law knew that this was a different kind of manhood, And the day you are proclaimed a man, your mother should no longer look upon your nakedness. It's expected that if you grow in that society and you reach the age 60, by the time they look at your children and they see their conduct, are you with me?
No, we have taken care of that. We have taken care of that.
Because what we call pastor's work today, is father's work. Every father in Israel should be a prolific teacher, a custodian of revelatory powers. And that's why the work of the Pharisee, the work of the priest, those days was easy. When you come, what he does is the proclamation of blessings, not discipleship.
Oh my God.
I'm just trying to give you an insight into the society, first and foremost. Then maybe you'll be able to understand these terms in the light of that. Now, when it has been proven that you have a firm grip on your family in leading them in the way of the culture that evolved from heaven, you have age, you have experience, you have a record of the history of the people, you become an elder. You become bigger than your family platform. And then you earn a seat through your conduct at the gate. So, what determines the culture of the people within the gate is determined by the elders at what? The gate. Now, in a family where there's a witchcraft potter, the elders are not at the gate of righteousness. The elders are at another gate anyway, but they are there to ensure that there's a particular trend, a civilization that prospers within the scope of the authority. Are you with me? Now, those elders represent government. If there is a dispute about land, the governments will be summoned. And when they deliberate on the matter, in the light of all the appendages of the Torah, where the counsel of God is domiciled in shapes, different shapes and colors, they can crystallize the accurate position of justice, judgment and equity. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So the governments are what? They are summoned. In that culture, the most strategic and relevant people are those what? Because those elders are representative of families, representatives of interests, and they are brought together. Whereas one elder can be strong, is relevant. But the power of the elder is not fully articulated until they are together. At what? The gate. Just like one senator is strong in the village, he can go to the village, people will insult him. But when he goes to the chamber in Abuja, the red chamber, and he say, I, they can cut your local government and give it to Cameroon. Because he's an elder. You are not with me. That Jatoka, he can be cut off. And they'll say, this part of the land is no longer we are coming. Hallelujah. Those elders form the Ecclesia. Not the entire Israel. Those elders. They form what? They are the ones that function within the scope of government and kingdom. Now, so when Jesus was speaking, the people understood because their culture supported that kind of government. Even when they were now under Roman rule, they did not have command and control of the gates, which was supposed to be the location of the elder's desk anymore. they still formed the Sanhedrin. Do you understand? It's because of the culture. And so when Romans conquer a new territory, they get some functionaries from the central province and dub them and then send them into that new conquered land as the Ecclesia. We cannot and must not try to consider defining the church outside of kingdom and government. Did you get the setting? So they pick those guys from the central, from the capital, and then they send them to that place. Their assignment is to administer Roman justice. Their assignment is to deculturize this conquered province so that they change their language, in fact, change their culture and make that place look like Rome. So you don't need to get slaves and transport. We just send the Ecclesia to do the job. So that becomes an extension of the Roman Empire. Do you get it? Now, so if we talk about the church being present without us influencing the culture of the people, their way of life, there's no Ecclesia there. Are you with me? Now, so those elders are the ones that form government. Elders are the people. Unfortunately, we are not the only ones that have elders. The kingdom of darkness has its own colony of elders. They have established their eldership. There is a fellowship of witchcraft that exists on every level. Family level, it can exist. Clan level. Local government level. You know what I'm talking about. Some very skilled people in the way of witchcraft. They sit together because they have different witchcraft implements that the devil gave them. So that they will not harm each other, they need to form a fellowship. So that there will be no conflict of interest, they must come together and agree. It's not as if they like themselves, but it is for the greater good of the entire colony. So that there are bullets, there will be no stray bullets and counter attacks. It is needful for we the strong to fellowship. And a lot can be achieved by demonic fellowship. Because just as the Ecclesia is expected to tap into the resources and reality of heaven and bring heaven into the earth so that the earth looks more like heaven, the Ecclesia of darkness wants to bring Hades. The gates of what? Of Hades shall not prevail. If you check the lexicon, the explanation of Hades, the usage is vast. Hallelujah. But it speaks about the government in the regions of the dead. And there is a scripture I need to bring quickly into the crucible to help us with graphic insight. Hallelujah. You know, when Jacob stumbled in that place called Bethel, in the physical, he took a stone and made pillow out of it. Is that so? While he was sleeping, his spiritual eyes were open. And he was able to see a ladder connecting earth with heaven. And angels were ascending and what? Descending. They were not descending and ascending. They were ascending and descending. That's a very different situation. They were ascending. It means the power that was responsible for the traffic was on earth. That was the work of his grandfather. His grandfather opened a website in that location many years before he stumbled upon that land. And he sacrificed unto God and made covenants with God. A portal was opened there. And that altar, though it was not physically present in that place anymore, the impact of his spiritual power was still active. And the altar was still sending angels to heaven and sending them down from heaven with responses to the demands on the altar. And this guy, by hook and crook, has stumbled into the covenant of his ancestor. And while he was running, he thought it was his legs that was carrying him. But the power of that altar was drawing him to a particular location.
You see, I know you studied wide on campus, got a degree. You are now an accountant. Hallelujah. And you feel you are in charge. The powers, the forces that are in charge are not seen. They are unseen. You know those days on campus while we were praying, we formed a circle and began to pray. One guy went to shack. He was full of new wine. Now, he was trying to make his way to the hostel. When he wanted to pass where our prayer circle was for him to make it to the hostel. And suddenly, the ability to walk was taken from him. I've seen that many times. And he wept with physical tears because of his inability to make motion. You see, your will is limited when elders are sitting. You know, we were taught in Bible school that you are a free moral agent. Your will itself is not a factor if elders are sitting. Jesus, you know, the man Jonah, what was his intention? To run away from the call. Was that not so? And all the things that happened to him. Many years later, Jesus came and was trying to explain, give them an illustration of his journey. And he said, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. I hope you know that journey Jonah made was a journey in rebellion. Yes. But it fulfilled the type that Jesus quoted. Was Jonah in charge? His will was strong enough just to fulfill a type, to create an illustration for the future. He was redeemed at the end of the day, Abby, but he fulfilled the type. If in his rebellion, he still fulfilled a type that was referenced. Your will is a small factor when elders are seated. Don't be confused. You are not in control. It's either the elders of Hades are the ones responsible for your civilization, or the Ecclesiastes. Unfortunately, the pure Ecclesiastes that understands his territorial mandate is in short supply. So, most of what we see as our national persona is an illustration of elders at the gates of Pluto. Because another word for Hades is Pluto. The most distant place from sunlight. May the Lord give you understanding. Now, so the words used there, Jesus used the most outlawed words in the diction of contemporary time to make the most powerful statement in three verses. Most outlawed because of the stage he wanted to depict. Now, so do you understand? When we talk about gates, we're talking about government and authorities. If that one is not satisfactory, we'll still have to consult more scriptures to open more portals of understanding. Is it understood? That's the first definition. If it's not understood, then we need to go to the book of Psalms chapter 24. Maybe from there we'll have more insight into the matter. Gate, because we need to explain gates, explain what it means to bind and to loose. Because it's not what you thought it was. Even though it is very accurate for you to bind demons, there are scriptures that support that, but this is not one of them. Are you with me? You are quiet. This is our class this morning. Are we making progress in this class at all? May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Okay, Psalms 24. Somebody said he's still in doubt of what I'm talking about. So, that's why I want to go this far. in Psalms 24, verse 1. Now, we need to understand the principles of biblical interpretation, especially interpretation within text and context. We must understand the stem and branch principle. Some verses of the scripture are dependent on other verses. You cannot interpret them in isolation of the parent verse of which they are existing as appendages. Are you with me? Just like Reverend was preaching yesterday. And he took us to the stem. I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of Christ is God. And the head of the woman is what? That's a stem. That scripture can stand on its own. That is a revelation that he brought from the mind of God. And all the other scriptures surrounding that verse are just trying to explain so that we will understand that verse. Those other verses cannot stand alone outside of that principal parent verse. But the parent verse can stand on its own. And there will be other portions of scripture that testify about the fact that this is what God really meant. Now, if you take a branch which is not supposed to exist in isolation of a stem, and you try to make a doctrine out of it, you only confuse babes. And unfortunately, 76% of Christians in the Nigerian church are babes. And so we are being tossed around by the fact that it's Kumuyi that preached it doesn't mean it is correct. The fact that it's Adeboye that said it, if it contradicts basic principles of biblical interpretation, we accept that Adeboye as a Christian, but that utterance did not come from the mind of God. The fact that it's me that preached it doesn't make it any authentic. We need to isolate men from the authority of the word of God. Now, if we are not ready for that kind of risk, we are not. Then God will wipe us out and look for our children. How can you explain the kind of resources that we have in this country and we are in bondage? God did not ordain any Nigerian to be poor. We generate the statistics of our wealth, especially in the area of our greatest concern. We have never been as rich as this, ever before. If statistics means anything. Have sat at the gate, and the will to progress is not a factor. And all we know how to do is to arrange fellowships, not governments. You know, there are two different things. We understand fellowship, but the context here is not fellowship. Meanwhile, I'm not trying to underestimate the place of fellowship. Because the Bible says that Abraham had 318 soldiers raised where? In his. So there were products. It was first a house where there was fellowship. He was fellowshipping with them. And the product of fellowship was that they became soldiers. And we said that soldiers are an extension of a kingdom. Now, so we cannot underestimate the place of interfacing and fellowship. That's how the crucible evolves. Are you still with me? But fellowship in just as fellowship does not amount to government. And if there is no government, there is no ecclesia. And so when we start a new platform, we're interested in getting a motif, Yamaha motif, XF8 keyboard. That's cool. We're interested in getting a cathedral, 50,000 sister without pillar. That may be relevant if it's a tool. But we can do kingdom, do ecclesia. We can function as elders without a drumstick. And witches don't take talking drums to the shrine. Now, we have a misplaced priority.
and we are expecting that something is about to happen. Listen. Listen. Come closer. Hear me. This kind of system does not just appear because God is sovereign. Jesus said it must and can only be built. If it is not built, it cannot exist. Oh. It's easy to get a white suit and to speak like an American. If you try hard enough, after 2 years, you will get the lingo. But that has nothing to do with government. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Now, some of you here may be offended. All right? As I'm talking, say, see this small boy. What? Listen to me. Listen. A new measure of grace has come into the earth. That I'm casting heavily news. This is news. Just in case you don't know. A new measure of grace has what? Has come into the earth. And the wisdom of sons is beginning to brood in this hour. Forget about in the next 5 years, there will be a change of pivot. The emphasis will change, and not everybody will die, but some voices will be blotted out. Listen. We are not saying we are the ones going to fulfill the orbiter of vacant thrones and to occupy and take advantage of unused mantles because of short of stature. We are not saying we are the ones. We are saying in 5 years' time, because God has reaffirmed his jealousy over that nation called Nigeria. It's not only Israel that is called as a nation. Israel is just the firstborn, indicative of the fact that God will show through Israel the pattern of national transformation. Something that is going to spread as the template all across the nations. Anytime national deliverance will take place, it will take place like this. Nigeria is also called. There is a covenant that exists in this nation. And the covenant of God in our land is with the youth. Check the SU revival in the 70s. Some of our brethren here, present here, were part of that revival. The revival caught up with them as young people. That's what evolved into most of the denominations and the strong men we have today. But we developed fellowships. We didn't develop an ecclesia. An ecclesia is built. There's a deliberate building pattern that results in an ecclesia. People that can touch government and advance kingdom. The patriarchal dimensions of kingdom advance will be part of their nature. I'm using many words to tell you that we have a failed system. Just in case you are excited about what is happening, the colors are well blended. The cotton is looking. You are in the wrong. You are looking at it. The lingo is perfect. The theology, the sequence of scripture, it's prolific. If it doesn't produce government, it is not a ecclesia. It might be a fellowship, but that's not what Jesus came to build. He did not come to build a fellowship. He came to build an ecclesia because Pluto is alive. Pluto is active. The regions of Hades will speak, and they will have people that will devote themselves to see that the civilization coming from that realm rules and reigns in the earth territory. Just like there was a ladder connecting earth and heaven, there is also a ladder connecting earth and Hades. And the elders of each context upon the face of the earth determines what earth looks like, either like hell or like heaven. So are you getting it now? So the church was now set up as an infrastructure of heaven to facilitate the civilization coming from heaven. And because it is such an infrastructure, there are several things that it must be. And just in case it is not, that thing is an aberration, it is not the church. It can be Israel, but not the ecclesia. You know, the whole Israel,
the people, citizens of the nation. That's different from what the Ecclesiastes. The citizens of Rome is different from the people that were picked to go and decolonize the new conquered territory. Are you following me? And so we are citizens, which is very, it's a great blessing. But the Ecclesiastes is a different philosophy altogether. So when we talk about gates, we are talking about governments and we are talking about authorities. The Psalms 24 that I said you should open is a testimony about how the earth is governed. First of all, it begins by taking a trip to Lands and Survey. Lands and Survey carries all the title deeds of landowners. There is a file open for every land ownership within the scope of the state, held in the land registry. Alright, so Psalms 24 verse 1 is land registry. The earth is the Lord's. That's land registry. Lands and Survey. And the fullness thereof. That's the law that upholds the registry. Now, you see, in the United States of America, if you have a land and there's oil inside, the land belongs to you, the content belongs to you. In Nigeria, if you have a land, the land is yours. If there's oil inside, it belongs to government. Are you following? Now, so the law, the legislation for this land matters, according to the scripture, is that the earth belongs to the Lord and what? And the content. Just in case there's something on it. That's the title deed, it's land register. You don't get this kind of information in Ministry of Education. You get it where? Lands and Survey. Who has land? Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord's and what? The fullness thereof. The world and there that dwell therein. We don't have time to touch that. Now, the reason for forceful ownership is because some people will come to claim it. Whenever we are going to land, and you don't even know Land and Survey is existing until there's land dispute. We have to go back to register to check who encroached. Hallelujah. I bought one land somewhere and somebody went and built his own house on the line, the touch line of my land and his land. Therefore, having no place to build a soccer way, he now transferred the soccer way inside. You get that? He didn't know that I had dealings with Land and Survey. And by the time Land and Survey came, they brought a strange tape. You know, there are many tapes in the market, but the one Land and Survey has is what we call the master tape. No, you don't understand. Now, there are many rulers in the Bible, in the market, but there's a ruler called master ruler. That's the ruler from whence they generate other rulers. Oh, my. That one is not that. So, Land and Survey has what? Master tape. Configured and calibrated from the factory direct. Weight, measure, length and distance in physics. Eh? So approved societies of physics that can bring length, weight, measure, length and breadth. They were the ones that generated. You pay money for, how much is a ruler? With one naira or two naira you can buy. But if you are buying a master ruler, and you would think it's the tire of a car that you are buying. Because from that ruler, you have been given the patent right to manufacture rulers, just in case that's your intention. So Lands and Survey has what? Master tape. And by the time they brought it, the woman's land ended where the house was constructed. In fact, according to building laws, there should be 3 meters space between where the house is and where the fence is supposed to begin. So a law has been breached. The woman that was boasting like this, when master tape came, the burden changed. Okay, so this scripture is a reference to land registry because there's a burden. Do you understand it? So the scope of the title deed is being unveiled. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and them
that dwell therein. If that were the only content in the title deed, it would have been wonderful. But it is more. He said, even the design pattern of the earth was also captured within the title deed. For he founded it upon the floods and established it upon the seas. Indicative of the fact that the earth doesn't have true foundations. If you dig and dig well, you will meet water. Because the foundation of the earth is floods. It means the designer did not intend that it would be an everlasting city. So he consciously and deliberately factored in a civil engineering flaw into the foundation. Okay, in Lagos, at least you know in Lagos, we do sand filling because there's water. Water is always an obstruction to builders. They need to fill it. And then Baba God wanted to build, and then the foundation is what? It means he's not planning that this building will... He said, deliberate. Are you with me now? Then, he now asks a question. Seeing that there's no true foundations, he now said, who shall ascend unto the hill of God? Now, this one now is a choice. It's not a call. It's a decision. It's not compulsory. Who shall ascend into the hill of God? The hill of God is the only place on earth where there is a foundation, a true foundation. That hill of God is what we call the church today. Who shall stand in his holy place? I was expecting that a roll call would have been mentioned. They say, Okanigbe, Butu. But instead of writing names of people that will ascend to the hill of God, he wrote some traits, character traits. He that has clean hands. I don't want to go into that. And a pure heart. That's the way of the Ecclesiastes. That has not lifted up his soul to vanity or sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. It's in the book of Galatians chapter 3 that we see the definition of blessing. Blessing has nothing to do with that which is natural. It's the substance of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And that substance is the Spirit. The Bible says, we have been brought into the covenant of Abraham so that we can qualify to receive the blessings of the Spirit by what? Faith. Did you get that one to that point? Oh my God. You didn't get it. If you didn't get it, and that is the only one you don't understand, there's no problem. I just want you to understand what he said you will receive. Receive a blessing from the Lord. The blessing is talking about the concentrated presence of God. Only the Ecclesiastes has that. And he shall receive righteousness from the God of his salvation. Righteousness is a legal word. The justice is here. It means discharged and acquitted. So when you stand before the judge and you are discharged and acquitted, there is no accusation that has prospered on your behalf. Is that so? Righteousness becomes that gift that affords us the opportunity to stand before God without guilt, without inferiority. That is the gift you need to establish contact with heaven in the place of prayer. Righteousness. So you have two things. Blessing of the Lord, concentrated presence of God, and then the legal premise to do business with God. Then the next verse now says, this is the generation that seek thy face, O God of Jacob. Did you get that? Don't forget where we started from. The earth is what? Then as we spoke about the ownership of the earth, then suddenly we started speaking about individuals, some people, the Ecclesiastes. Why? Because there's going to be a land dispute. Suddenly the King of Glory wants to move around, and according to that scripture, he doesn't travel alone. He moves with an entourage. That's why he's called the Lord of Hosts. He travels with many people. So before he comes to a place, they need to gather the stones out. They don't want to collide with anything that will hinder the movement. So he normally sends people ahead of him to remove the obstacle. He sent the Ecclesiastes to go ahead and make sure they remove the obstacle so that his kingdom and his entourage can have access.
You get that?
So when the Ecclesiastes went forth, the people that stood upon the hill of the Lord, when they went forth in his name, they now saw a gate. So the Ecclesiastes gave a command: lift up your heads, O ye gate. Sorry, what gate is that? You know our definition. A gate is what? A government or an authority. Now, so those were governments and authorities that held the nations captive, because the context of the scripture is the earth. You know, somebody was interpreting the scripture and said that gate, they are talking about the gate of heaven. Bro, the context did not say anything about heaven. He spoke about the earth. Is what? How I wish. There's a study we did on hard scriptures. There's a study we did on what? On hard scriptures. The scriptures that have been troubling us in the body of Christ for so long. You say, this is what it means. Somebody will. This is what it means. It's not that difficult if there's no religion in your mind. We are all children of God. So you cannot say it's only you God spoke through. If it's true that God is speaking to you, there should be a witness. And that is the philosophy of biblical interpretation. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, every matter shall be what? There, it cannot be of private interpretation. It cannot be just one person's perspective. It must have witnesses to support the view. Show me from your Bible two scriptures that say women should cover hair when they come to fellowship. They should use a tie. Just in case, what we mean in 1 Corinthians 11 is that women should cover hair. Oh yeah, show me another one. And we make this rubbish. Total rubbish. And we are arguing on that. Okay, just in case, when the Bible reads that a woman should not wear that which pertains to a man, just in case it means trouser, show me another one. Let's not go far. Before we even start interpreting, just see it. Most of those scriptures that they say is a controversial, it's not a matter. If these people are disciples to know God, God will tell them how to look. The thing is, it's because the Holy Spirit is not active in the life of the average believer. That's why we need to prescribe dress code. We need to prescribe when they go to the market. We need to prescribe. That's rubbish. We got involved in that because the Holy Ghost left. So the pastor is the Holy Ghost now. He prescribes everything. That's the, and we don't understand that the greatest mistake that Muhammad made was that he gave his people a dress code. Because the dress code was only relevant in his time. As the world evolved, it was obvious that the civilization was a civilization that went backward, not forward. And then we have evolved that. You don't know the damage. Well, how did we get here? All right, that part is not, it's my own, it's just a body. It's a personal, it's not the Lord, it's me. Okay, let's go back to what the Lord is saying. You know, sometimes Paul will preach, he said, this one is not God. This one is me. So that one I did now is me. It's me that did. I moved. Jesus. Adabora Maya. Amen. I say hallelujah. Amen. Lift up your heads. Who did that? The Ecclesiastes. The Ecclesiastes has to do with gates. Why? Because the king wants to bring his civilization. And then suddenly we now saw that the gates could speak, the authorities and the governments over the nations could speak, could retaliate, and they say, who is this? Is that not the same question that Pharaoh asked when Moses came? I have not heard of this. We have seen the powers that govern the rainbow. We have seen the spirits that emanate from the moon. We have seen the power that creates the tide. But this one you speak of in this region, we have not so much as heard of him. Will you be so kind as to educate us? Who is what? This king. Because he doesn't reign here. We are the gates, the governments, the authorities. We are the everlasting doors. The covenants we have in place were not ordained to be time-based. They are perpetual in their operation. So who is this one coming late when we have already established our trenches? There's no passageway. It's the Ecclesiastes. We cannot talk about the Ecclesiastes without talking about governments, talking about conquest, conflict, and advancing the kingdom of God. That is the only context in which the church, the sense of the word Ecclesiastes, can find expression. Did we get it to that point now? Good. Second term to be defined is the word bind. That's the only one. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 terminologies for definition. But we may just do, and this is not, we have not started. You see, this definition is to help us so that when we start looking at how the church is built, because it is built deliberately. Why is the apostle called a wise master builder? We'll find out. Not just a builder, but what? A master builder. Not just a master builder, but what? A wise what? Master builder. I will tell you what happens when the apostolic perspective is not present. The building stops. Some other kind of building can continue, but the building according to government and kingdom. Stop. I will show you the role of the prophet within this context. The assignment of the evangelist. The role of a teacher. It is only within this context you can accurately define those offices, because those offices are spiritual capacities and thrones. They are governments. Now, if we try to understand them outside of their governmental function, we are already peddling into making us discern those offices according to the flesh. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. You see, the only problem we'll have is time, which we're already having that problem. Can we go forward? Bind. Now, the word bind in this scripture, just like I said, there are other scriptures that we can consult, and it is accurate to bind demons. Abi? You know, the Bible says that when you come into the house of a strong man, you will have to do something to him before you can spoil his goods. It is biblical to bind spirits, to make them impotent, incapacitated. Don't be in a hurry to cast them out. When you bind them, spoil first. Let them see you spoil. Now, we will. That's not the emphasis today. But this scripture is not talking about binding demons. It has nothing to do with the demonic directly. That is why it states whatsoever. Did it say demons? Demons are included in what? In whatsoever. Whatsoever ye. Now, but meanwhile, the context is different. So we need to look at it again. This particular matter has more to do with a contract, a covenant, a judicial position. When we say a contract is binding, that's what it means. Not demonic bind. We're talking of a binding contract. A binding contract. And when we say lose, we are talking about dissolving a contract. Now, don't forget our context is kingdom and government. What facilitates kingdom and government is either binding contracts or dissolving contracts. So it's a bit different from the original eye view in which this scripture is held, for instance. Okay? Maybe you want power and you visit me. I'm a native doctor. And I say, okay.
All right.
It's hard though. It's a hard thing. Are you ready to pay the price? Say, yes, you want. You pay the price. Say, okay, you give me two of your daughters. Your first two children will be daughters. They'll be mine. And then you now say, you agree. It's all right. You sign with your blood. It means we have a binding contract. When we are talking about government, we need the arena of binding contracts to execute government. We also need the arena and the capacity to dissolve contracts in order to create several passages. So the assignment of the Ecclesia is creating legal positions and premises for God so that he can fulfill his will. God cannot just fulfill his will. There must be a legal premise that allows him to do his good pleasure. For instance, after Adam fell, God wanted to introduce Jesus almost immediately. And if you see the prophecies that went forth in the Garden of Eden, you would think God will manifest Jesus in the next generation, because he had already articulated the process. He spoke about the serpent, that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent will hurt his heel. And that's the situation. All right? I hope you know that salvation became possible because of the legal implication of the death of Jesus. That's a contract. You're not with me. The purpose of God was frustrated after Adam rebelled. And the implication of his rebellion was that creation rebelled against him. Mosquito lost his manual. Started biting people, sucking blood. God did not create any carnival. There was no wild animal in the garden. Wild animal. I'll show you where wild animals. Do we need to? We have done this before now. He didn't create any wild animal. It was when the sons of God compromised their separation and went into the daughters of, that was the last line of defense. Went into the daughters of men. They lost their separation. So the entire human race fell. That was when the Bible says, and violence came into the earth. That's when wild animals emerged. Because by the time Jesus comes to rule in the millennial reign, the Bible says the order will be restored and the lion will eat grass again. No wild animal was created. Violence was a result of the failure of the sons of God. It's the failure of the sons of God that is responsible for the bondage of corruption. Is responsible for the fact that the Holy Spirit had to leave the old creation and to create a new creation that we have access to in Christ Jesus. But God will not stop there. God still needs that creation redeemed. And in the equation of the scripture, if an angel caused a problem, an angel will solve that problem. If God locks the ark, only God can open it. If it is a man that seals something, only a man can open it. That's the order of scripture. I hope you know in the book of Daniel, the angel told Daniel to seal the words of that book. Is it? It's a man that sealed it. It means it will be a man that will open it. So it's the sons of God that were responsible for releasing the affliction of the bondage of corruption. And that's why the Bible says that the earnest expectation of creation, another set, another generation of sons of God will come again to loose, to lift the bondage of corruption. Are you still with me?
Yes,
now, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was a legal statement, and a contract became binding on that account. It's on the strength of that contract that we can be saved today through faith. Without that contract, believe God, you will not be saved, because there's no basis for God to do it. So the ecclesia are legal governmental people that create legal basis for God to do his good pleasure. His good pleasure that he doesn't have the legal right to execute, we must be able to create the legal basis that will make God do his good pleasure. So we are saddled with the responsibility of wisdom in establishing binding contracts that will release God to do his good will. There are some contracts that must be established in your family before God can do his good will in your family. And if there is no representative of the parliament that understands how to manipulate the law to secure favor, that family will wait for a long time. I know our fellowships are sweet, but the perspective and the ideology of the church is not fellowship. It's what? It's government. Definition of terms. The ecclesia or the church. There are the called out ones for governmental function. You can write that down. There are what? The called out ones for governmental function. If you remove that word governmental, we have a problem. Hallelujah. Yesterday I announced that with this session we end by 11. We can only extend the time if we agree. Maybe we extend it by 1 hour. Are we in agreement? So that I can take one out of the 7 points. Just one. This morning. By the time this conference is ending, we'll be on maybe the third point. Then the Lord will teach you the rest. Hallelujah. Now, this is my own quota. I'm just adding my quota, you know, so that we can build something that can represent the reason for which God has sent a message to the body of Christ. Now, one throne cannot build it. So we need to bring some thrones together with the attendant wisdom that flows from their different fountains, and we weave out a pattern, a template, and that template will become a work manual for people that have ears to hear. May the Lord help us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So are we okay? If you don't agree for 1 hour, let's add 30 minutes. The church. They are the called out ones for governmental function. And listen to me. This ecclesia, amen. I need to open our eyes to a few things. A Christian is powerful as an individual. Very powerful. What makes you powerful is not your prayer. What makes you powerful is not your fasting. What makes you powerful is not your ability to study the Bible. Because very soon you will remember that Muslims can fast. And Muslims can what? Can pray. And Muslims can study the Quran. There's something a Muslim doesn't have anyway. Christ in you is what makes your own prayer different from the Muslim prayer. Christ in you is what makes your own fasting a potent tool, a spice on your governmental function. And that is why Jesus said, The church can only be founded on the revelation of Christ in you. As we understand the meaning, the implication of that investment of divinity in us, then our heavenly nature and our participation in the divine nature can be fully manifest. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost tabernacles you, but is not doing what he wants. He's there operating an office called the office of the Christ. And so when Peter gave the great confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," it was, first of all, the ministry of Christ. The ministry of Jesus is the Christ. Because the Christ is an office. Jesus is a person. So his office and his personality becomes what? The revelation upon which the church must be established upon. Now, little is known about the office of this personality and how it is administered through the Holy Spirit in us. You know, Pastor made it so simple yesterday. He broke it down to salvation and hell. Our entrance into the body of the divine life, this way of God, came through the legal premise that Jesus established through his sacrifice, creating, he changed the configuration of the spirit realm, created new possibilities, new capacities, new opportunities, just like in the book of Genesis chapter 8, when the sacrifice went into heaven and God spoke, he said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, those are new opportunities, new avenues, new possibilities that can find expression on the basis of this new utterance. Now, so when Jesus laid down his life, new opportunities were created in the spirit realm, one of which, or principally of which, is salvation. Now, the perspective or the definition of Jesus's definition of salvation, he went closest to define what it meant to be born again in the book of John chapter 3. He decided not to define it at the end of the day, but he gave us an illustration. He said that the moment you give your life to Christ, you have your spiritual senses are activated so that you can understand the activities in the kingdom of God. God, originally, in the Garden of Eden, there was no need for salvation. I hope you know that. Are we confused about that? That's why there's no silver in the Garden of Eden. Check the periodic table in the Garden of Eden, there's no silver. Silver is symbolic of redemption. Silver appeared in Paul's periodic table in the New Testament. It was not required in the Old. All right? So salvation is not an end in itself. There are a category of Christians that are excited that they are born again. Eh? How did I say it again? Some Christians, the body of Christ. There's a way they normally say it. They're excited. Don't know who I am. You don't understand. How I wish we had time. I would have shown us the 10 dimensions of the gospel. And then you'll see that statement is 3/10. It's not holistic. Because anything we do outside of kingdom, salvation wasn't in God's original purpose. Salvation became necessary because of the fall. Are you with me? The reason what God offered us in Eden was kingdom. All right? Don't forget that. It's very easy to forget where we are starting from. He's offering us what? Kingdom. So, salvation now makes it possible. It's an entrance so that we can now still access the original purpose, which is what? Kingdom. But the fact that we have experiencing kingdom life and the office of the Christ is domiciled in our spirits. So much you can do on that level. In fact, just as we saw in the Bible study, we don't need to dabble into those matters again. No, we can't dabble. And I deliberately said they should not tape it. Because I use some examples that I don't want you put me in trouble. So I said, don't tape it. And I ensured that it was not taped. I made some statements which carnal believers should not hear. That's why it's not taped. Are you with me? There is a place in heaven, a location called Zion. Heaven is vast. Alright? But a place in heaven called what? Zion. Is Mount Zion, the sides of the northern city of the great king. Now, this Zion happens to be God's administrative headquarters. That's where the government that runs the universe derives its reference and bearing. Are you with me? What should rule your family? That's where it is domiciled. So when the Bible says we fell, the fall of man, what does it mean? First of all, I don't want us to misunderstand this thing. That's why I'm going like this. You must understand it. Because it's the call of our generation. Now, let's try to understand this Adam before the fall. This guy had fellowship with God. Notice he did not have to change location to have fellowship with God. He did not have to attend church to have what? Fellowship with God. Adam was in a realm. Okay? Because he was in that realm, fellowship was possible. Secondly, Adam's true clothing was not physical. Because in creation, garments grow from inside out. Have you ever seen a goat when it is delivered? Where does its garment grow from? You're not. This is my class, is becoming. I think we need to spice it up with some prayer. Garments grow how? From inside out. Your chicken, the feathers, how does it come? Can you see how solid the feathers are? How does it come? Inside. So the garment Adam had came from inside out. Listen. Can you see the light, the filament, especially those on the minister's desk? If we switch this light off, you can see the filament. Is that true? And when we switch it on, you can no longer see the filament because something is passing through the filament and coming out. So Adam was like a filament linked to a power source. And once that power surges, something comes out from inside out. That is what we call glory. That was his garment. It came from where? Inside out. Because of the current that is flowing, you can't see the filament. It is covered because it is something is coming from where? Inside out. So he had a heavenly garment. So when Adam fell, the power source was disconnected so he could see the filament and he knew he was what? Listen. Jesus was called the second Adam. That means Jesus came to give us a perspective and a definition of what Adam was before the fall, which is supposed to be our reference. And Jesus walked on water. And Adam had a task to name all the creatures. He had to walk on water to name fish. Jesus was not the first. Jesus could be many things, but as the second Adam, he came to show us. Oh, you are not with me. That Adam could walk on water. Don't think he was a natural being the way you think.
he was like an angel trapped into the earth. I don't have time. Some scriptures are calling, they are begging. No time. Psalms 82 is begging, seriously. I will show you the category of principalities and where Adam was placed. He had a throne and he was a prince in the heavens. A day came, the Bible says, when the sons of God came to appear before the Lord and Satan came with them. But Job did not come for that meeting. It's just like there's a challenge in your village. Your house of rent member didn't make it to Abuja. So even though the Senate president was trying to bring the issue because it's troubling the land, the man that was supposed to be representing that constituency, Adam, was a ranking personality, a principality that was in charge of the regions of the visible creation. He was more than a cherub. He burned with light. When he rebelled against God, he fell from the realm that God was, and he was measured into time. That is Psalms 82. He became a being of space and of time, no longer of spirit and life. So the excellency of his time and strength was measured in years and in children. So Methuselah lived for how many years? And did what? He gave birth to sons and to daughters. That is the beast that perished. Because that's the only thing a goat can boast of. But he was a prince held up in the archives of glory. He didn't need to change location to fellowship with God, because he was in God's realm. You are not with me. So when Jesus came to bring salvation, after he brought salvation, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he will not be able to come into that realm that Adam was, for his eyes to be able to see the kingdom of God." What Jesus did was legal, but the implication was spiritual. That you'll be able to fly again like a cherub, and your eyes will begin to see the kingdom of God. It's a powerful thing. When we see that salvation was just an entry point so that we can participate where? In the kingdom of God.
Let's just do it. Zachariah. He's looking for a way to avoid it. But we can't make, if I make a statement now, you say, the guy has gone outside of scripture. Those things you call visions. Huh? Your spiritual eyes and physical eyes should be working simultaneously. We celebrate things that is part of the divine nature. God is a prophetic personality. He declares the end from, he's a prophetic personality. That's his nature. The prophetic is part of the divine nature. It's not an object for stardom. And I will show you. That's how I operate. I show things. Because when God really gets ready to speak, he doesn't speak language. He begins to use pictures. If you know what God has made you, you will not look at that place where you are doing ministry and then say it's so difficult. No. No. The first Adam can say that, not the second. The one bound to time can say that, not the one that floats as a prince and can peep into the records of God. For if demons short the resources on earth, that second Adam can draw resources from heaven. That's why Paul said, my God shall supply all your need, not from central bank. There is a currency stronger than the British pound, the European euro, the Dutch mark of Germany. He said it's called the riches in glory. He said that their needs, which were physical, their needs, which were practical, he said it can be met from that treasure. Only cherubs that can fly into heaven can open the window of heaven. The Bible says, who are these that fly on the clouds like birds to their windows? Meanwhile, have you not heard that when he wants to bless, what will he do? He will open. Only a man of heaven can open the window of heaven. Whereas windows refer to blessings, doors refer to opportunities, gates refer to governments and authorities.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Now listen, I saw singing in heaven, so I wanted to incline my ears. And that's the song ahead. I didn't say, if you sing it now, that atmosphere there will bring it here. If there is a witness of that which speaks in heaven, that which speaks in heaven will have liberty to operate on earth. That's the work of the Ecclesiastes. You must have two wings like an eagle to fly so that you can access windows in heaven. Adam was a cherub, but he fell from that realm. That was when he now made his garments were made of fig leaves. He became a tailor. But there's nothing wrong with being a tailor anyway. Don't say that we need spiritual. No. The economy has changed. And so there is a process of recovery from salvation, transformation, to confirmation. Then, no, salvation. Renewing, transformation, confirmation to glorification. That is the scope and the context and content of salvation. There are two sides to salvation. There's a legal side, there's an organic side. Redeemed us by his blood, that is legal. Then he saves us by his life, that is organic. The salvation by his life is what begins after regeneration. And so it's a process that will lead us back to glorification. You get that? Please sit down. If we ride on that song, then those angels will be invoked. Our singing will invoke their presence. And since they are ministers sent to minister unto them that are heirs of salvation, when we begin to make that call by singing the song that is in the heavens, then their presence will be invoked down here. We were called to bring the civilization in heaven upon the face
of the earth. You are the earthly answer. God's governmental and legislative and judicial people. God's governmental, legislative, and judicial people. In order for the church to find expression, the ecclesia, to find expression in the territory, I said it must be what? Built. Let us see how it is built. There are seven parts of the building process of the ecclesia. We'll just talk about one for the next probably 20 minutes and I'll stop so that I don't take so much of your time. Number one, how is it built? I know you will doubt this one until we begin to dig the scripture. Number one, the ecclesia is raised and led by the apostles. Now, somebody might feel that I'm just trying to magnify my office. But the Lord will help us. Now, listen, let me strike a balance quickly. The ecclesia is what? Is raised and led by what? Jesus' 3.5-year ministry did not produce a prophet. Not one. It did not produce an evangelist. Now, you, it's Bible study, so you can contradict me. Just in case you have a different position about the matter, you can raise up your hand. What of this scripture? What of that? It's the school of Tyrannus. We can look at scriptures and we can argue on it until we find a place of balance. His 3.5-year ministry did not produce any prophet, did not produce an evangelist, did not produce a teacher, did not produce a pastor. In fact, based on historical perspective, it took 8 years after Jesus ascended into heaven before other ministry gifts began to appear in the body of Christ. Jesus discipled and empowered who? Apostles. Now, somebody might be asking a question desperately and with a very good intention to know the mind of God. And the person is asking, can't another ministry gift, an evangelist, pioneer a ministry? Of course, an evangelist can pioneer a ministry. But that evangelist must function with an apostolic DNA. I will explain that. A pastor can pioneer a ministry, but he must function from an apostolic DNA. I will explain. Just give me time. I said this kind of system does not... I have jumped Zachariah. Because of that jumping, we will not understand. And I can't go back now. Hey! Jesus. Well, if you understand, you understand. If you don't, the Holy Ghost will make up for the... I've already gone. And the time has gone. I said Jesus did not raise any prophet. He didn't raise an evangelist. If you have a different position about that matter, you can bring a scripture. We'll give you audience. If I can't answer your question, which I cannot answer everybody's question, I don't claim to have all answers. If we don't have answers, we'll shut down, we'll go and pray. If we have answers from the Lord, we will not come. There were times where, like the Corinthians, they wrote Paul a very lengthy letter and asked him a wide spectrum of questions that he did not have instant answers for. So Paul had to go on a retreat and he came back and it was not still all of the answers that Paul got from the Lord. So he answered some by himself as a man that has received grace from mercy of the Lord to be trustworthy. So Paul answered some by himself. Are you with me? And so I don't claim to have all answers.
But if you have a question, you are at liberty. That's the way of the school of Tyrannus. Every man must come to the point where the eyes of his understanding is enlightened. If you get to that point, nobody can deceive you with the Bible. We push so much truth into the system that falsehood will die a natural death. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, I will tell you what an apostolic DNA is. So just give me time. When I do that, I will stop talking. Then we'll continue school of ministry tomorrow morning. 1 Corinthians 12, 28, are you still with me? If you are still here, say amen. Hallelujah. And God has set some in the church. Complete it now. Stop there. Why first? He set it. It was something that God did deliberately in a particular order. He said what? The first that should come, the first whose DNA should affect every other one, is what? The apostle. Now, some of you might feel that because I am an apostle, so I'm trying to elevate the office of an apostle over an... No, I'm telling you how the ecclesia is built. T.D. Jakes is a pastor, all right? But he has a global ministry. Benny Hinn is an evangelist. He has what? A global ministry. Are you with me? You can be big from anywhere. In that context, we can have the same measure of grace actually and do the same global kind of thing. But wait. If it is the ecclesia that we are talking about constructing, it doesn't just appear, it is built meticulously. And the apostles must show up first, because the entire clan must be afflicted by their DNA, their perspective, their orientation, must affect the entire system. And you will come to understand what I'm saying in a moment of time. The word first there is proton. Proton in Greek language. It means preeminent. Let me read from my script. First in preeminence. First in rank, first in influence, first in order. God has set some in the church first, the apostles. Why? Why is this so? Why? Because of the function of the apostle is to establish government. Function of the prophet is to guide. The function of the evangelist is to gather. The function of the teacher is to ground. Right? We have government, guidance, gathering, grounding. Are you with me? The ecclesia has a governmental outlook. So it will take apostolic influence injection. I said that the church cannot be defined outside of what? Government. Listen. The perspective of the apostle. There's a scripture. I have to support this one with before it can make sense. The apostle takes the church into new realms, new dimensions, new territories. Without the apostolic, new things don't come to the body. They are about conquering, dominating, overtaking. Right? And the church is supposed to be afflicted with that DNA. You know what Constantine did? He made the pastors first. Whereas the apostles govern, the prophets guide, the evangelists gathers, the teacher grounds, and the pastor he gives. So the church now sustained a pastoral DNA of meeting needs. The greatest attack the church had in its infancy was in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6. Can you check it? Where are you now? Are you there? Acts what? I know so many people are scared at that statement. I mean, no, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Just hold on. And you will soon see that an apostle alone can't fulfill it. You soon see that. But the apostle must be the proton. He must be first. Everything must be shaped according to the apostolic DNA, because his office is the one that is in charge of government and church. Ecclesia fundamentally is a government, exercises government, legislative functions, judicial authority. And so his office must have an intensive grip on the modus operandi of the ecclesia. Now, let me open the script again. The script was closed, but it will open now. Hallelujah. Where are we? Acts chapter 6. Can we do from verse 1 to 4? And in those days, when the multitude of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmurings of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason, it is not good that we should leave the word and of God and serve tables. Should we stop there? Let's just try to stop there, because we don't have time to do the route. All right? Now, there was a call for them to leave governing to come and do pastoral work, giving. That was the temptation that affected the early church. But the apostles, through the oppression of the word of wisdom, now set up another set of functionaries in the body of Christ. That's how the office of the diaconate was set up, as an administrative instrument to do administrative business, so that they can remain where. In, you get that? Now, because we have been affected and afflicted by pastoral DNA, the prophet now operates not by bringing governmental prophecies about how regions, you know, when people like Pa Elting were still alive, he comes to a territory, tells you the things holding the territory, the nature of the ecclesia of darkness facilitating the kingdom of darkness, tells the church what to do, the strategy required to overtake that onslaught, and the shape that must be sustained territorially to keep the victory. That's a prophet prophesying with an apostolic DNA. But today our prophets prophesy milk and honey, phone numbers, names. It is the pastoral DNA that has rigged the whole matter. Because the prophets, the apostles, did not come first. You're not with me. Now, there's no way I can do this thing in a hurry. But your eyes must open to see what I'm trying to say. The model is wrong. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing you will do with this model that this model will become the ecclesia. We are Israelites, not the ecclesia. So nothing yet in this country can fight Boko Haram.
Nothing yet can yet give us a promise of a better future. Until the Ecclesia is formed, it is the call of our generation to form the Ecclesia. That's the only hand that can hold the hand of darkness. The evangelist ministers from a pastoral DNA.
Some people got it. For you people that started in the 70s, you look at us now, our young generation, and you weep. That's what happened. There was a switch in what came first. I'm not saying what is happening is not God that is doing it. I'm saying this one, this system, this protocol, this template cannot produce the Ecclesia. The change we seek can only be brought into view by the Ecclesia, the infrastructure that God has put in place, of which Jesus said it must be built. And that is why in the ministry of Jesus, he did not produce a prophet. He produced the ones that should come first. So now, the caption to attract people to church now is Harvest of Miracles. There's a need for us to meet. We meet needs. A vehicle. Am I saying a vehicle is not? We need them. During this fuel scarcity, you know what it means to travel around. You really like God, that's why you're here. Because the devil tried to do that to ensure that people will not move, even though there's need for movement. You know what you saw before you came here? Our budget became defective because there was a variable we did not capture. There was an X coefficient that now became most unpredictable. Hallelujah. But the Ecclesia must rise. The apostles must come what? First. I don't know if this thing has happened to you. You felt a dissatisfaction in the church.
Yes, sir.
And you are just wondering. You can't place your hands on what is wrong. He's still Jesus. What is happening? You see, the spirit of the Ecclesia is crying from within you. And you are beginning to become dissatisfied. It's because there's an inversion of the order.
Yes,
the apostles must come what? So that a prophet can now function with that apostolic DNA. That's when a prophet really becomes a very deadly tool. That's when we can now say that God will bring an entire nation out of captivity by one prophet. It's not just any prophet. It's a prophet that has apostolic DNA like Moses. When you see, there are various modes and shapes of a prophet, but when we find one that has an apostolic DNA, that's the real shape of the throne. That's when the real oil can drop. But now we are looking for word of knowledge that can pick people's phone number. If we have that kind of grace, no problem. But wait, if I pick your phone number, to what end? Meanwhile, the Bible said the manifestation of the Spirit is given unto everyone to profit without. There must be a profit that is derived from the use of a gift. The DNA has affected the manifestation. Have you ever heard that prophets like Emmanuel Kure call people's phone number? Those are apostolic prophets. Have you heard that people like Isaiah Abuba call people's phone number? They don't need to. Those are the prophets that have the apostolic DNA. Those are the people Muslims will be looking for to kill. They are not looking for some people. No. I hope you know Islam is about dominion and territory. They are the most terrible foes we have because they are also an Ecclesia in some sense. So when you start doing governmental, doing territorial, bringing legislative authority, they will know you. You are a threat to the advancement. Satan doesn't need to kill some people for his program to advance, because their DNA cannot contend with him, no matter how powerful. That's what happened to our fathers. Most of them have a pastoral DNA. Their campsites are filled to the back, but it is not an ecclesiastical. 8 million people worshiping, but all it is a fellowship, not a government. In that 8 million, the real people that are part of the ecclesia there can be 8. Now, the ecclesia doesn't need to come together in a meeting before we function. No, we are connected. No, some intercession you carry out, if you have entered into that mode, you are helping your fellow ecclesia that is in the heat of activity. So the real church is mystical. So in the last dispensation, our evaluation of a big ministry, it's the cathedral, especially if it has no pillar, and the campsite, the size of the congregation, not for long. That's why prophetic voices have not risen, because there is no, the order has been. You will be, if a true prophet rises, you will be afraid of him. Yes, sir. His loyalty is first to God, and he speaks by the mouth of, it's not bottle. His utterance is not, a politician can't come and say, a prophet? No, it's a pastoral DNA prophet you can carry around and give dollars, put it. If you are not here. A prophet? At that level, a prophet will have the power to kill you with utterance. That's when the real power and the real authority come. We have not touched authority. God raised Jehoshaphat as a sign that the apostolic church will be raised in Nigeria. In fact, that is our shape. Nigeria is the apostolic face of Africa. The greatest density of apostles will rise from Nigeria. That is what I'm saying. Now, you guys, you are not following. It is when that apostolic DNA comes. That, you see, we are too self-centered to be divine. We can't fulfill God's will like this. No, we are too self-centered. Have you attended PFM meetings? You know that God can't do anything with that system. At least not for now. Not for now. A time will come when it will become an ecclesia. Kayemo. If nothing is happening, it means nothing is happening. It means nothing is happening. There are some messages you preach. No pastor will fight you. But when you begin to move in some dimensions, pastors that are not part of the ecclesia will begin to fight you. There will always be a warfare between Davids and the Sauls. The hidden warfare in the body of Christ will linger to the end of time. You see, when God gave us, this was what we were contemplating, that we coined it as the remnant. That's the ecclesia. It's not a name of a ministry. We can have that name and not be an ecclesia. You understand? Forget about the name. I'm just telling you, that's the idea. That's the idea. Your age is immaterial. Right. Your experience is immaterial. You can be experienced in the wrong thing. Like me, Tusela, it was experience. Kemo si alao. He was experienced where? In the wrong thing. We have a DNA problem. If we can pray accurately, God will deliver. You see, we have a DNA what? And so when an apostolic voice is rising, you will be persecuted. That is our destiny according to scriptures. In fact, one of the marks that you are an apostle, you'll be persecuted. In fact, some of us will go to jail at some point. It's part of our heritage. I hope you know them. Those guys slept in cell sometimes. So it's also part of the package. I've been away from home for long, so if I'm sleeping in cell, my wife will sleep because she has missed me until God has helped her. It's part of it. It's part of it. If you really begin to challenge what is happening, they will use the physical system. I'm not, I know Pastor Jackson is a policeman. I'm not talking about you, okay? he's a policeman. So we are not, we have seen that and we know that it may come. So that's when our calling will be proven. And if it's God's will for us to be slain, if it will serve his will, it also happens to us. It can also be possible. Because of the energy that God puts upon the apostle and what he can do among the people of God, he's the chief agent of attack in the body of Christ. Because if you remove his DNA, there's no ecclesiasm. We will now build fellowships. You know, some churches, prophetic churches that are not apostolic in DNA, they are producing a prayer manual. The Catholic Church produced simple prayer book. Okay? Those days. They are still publishing it now. But we have complex prayer books coming from prophetic churches that are not apostolic in nature. A day when a prophet makes a prayer book, it means the prophetic office has fallen. Prayer that should be something about inspiration. Prayer that is something that you push based on the present revelation position of the Spirit. And the prophet's assignment is to ensure that we know how to use the instrument of navigation. Now writes what? A prayer book. Help Father, my Father, my Father. Grant that my helper, my knees will be nailed on the hand of my helper and fasting forever. Pray by fire. You see, some of us were Christians long ago. We were discipled by the old prophets. They showed us the right and imparted us the wisdom to pursue it. That was not one of the things the prophets taught us. The prophetic office is the most abused office in Nigeria. And that's the office people don't check most. That's why TB Joshua has lasted. Divination on the pulpit. But it's accommodated. Those things did not exist in Dahosa's time. The rise of Dahosa was a sign that we were a nation of apostles. You know it was in his time that PFM was born. Alright? Are you with me? Check the evangelists that existed in Dahosa's time. There were evangelists that were apostolic in outfit. You know, Ben Hinn is an evangelist, but he's apostolic in outfit. Reinhard Bonnke is an evangelist, but an evangelist with an apostolic DNA. So when it comes into the territory, you see, even our villages, the last surviving sorcerers that are the ones that are trainee instructors in the land, developing more witches, they were the ones that came out to fight Bonnke, four of them. Those are the ones, people in training under them could bring rain in dry season. Those guys, their lives were they transferred it to some Iroko trees in the forest. As long as that tree is standing, they will live. And that was the forest government gave Bonnke to do crusade. The forest that those trees. When they came with bulldozer and they struck one of the trees, blood, it began to bleed. So they had to call the intercessors. And they prayed for 3 days with dry fasting. Even intercession too, you can do it with an apostolic DNA. Yes, all these intercessors, they say intercessors for Nigeria. They now bring 1,700 people. And there's no shift in the country after the conference. It's a lie. Don't attend that meeting. The Bible said Daniel and his companions came. The ecclesia was formed. and the secret that the herbalist said that only the spirit of the holy gods is private to this revelation. No king ever asked a man this question. The secret was revealed in a night vision. Say intercessors, we just make names out of nothing. Travel from pillar to post to waste our time. We are young people. Let us find what matters. There's so much noise in our country. It's like the household of Jacob, where it was the women that gave names to the children. You know, when it's a polygamous home and the women are the ones naming, when you just give birth, just say, my time don't come. That message is not, it's not prophetic. It's an instrument of warfare. You don't understand. There's battle at home. Maya komalakomo. Nami the rain. Now, see, when that name, one girl had to ask the mother, who were you fighting with that you called me this name? Who were you fighting with? What was the body? What was the fight about that this name I'm wearing? What was it? And they kept naming, giving names of warfare and battle. It was only one that Jacob himself named. That was when he rediscovered his masculinity. And his heart dropped. The one he worked for 14 years to marry was delivering him while she was dying. And she named. She didn't even consult. She named Benoni, the child of sorrow. That was the first day the guy woke up out of his drunkenness. He said, no! This one will be called what? Benjamin. And that was the only name Jesus adopted. Because the Bible says he was a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. That's Benoni. The Bible says he is seated at the right hand of God. That is Benjamin. That's the only name. The only one that was not born out of emotion. The one that had a touch of destiny. A prophetic voice had not risen in Nigeria because the house is like the household of Jacob. Now you see, that's how the handset. The handset is, okay, we have closed. Now let's rise for prayer. Tomorrow when you are coming, leave the phone at home. Now I would have gone deeper to show us that there's a, we are celebrating Harmattan. You know, that dry wind, there's no way it can bring rain. It's intensive, but it can't bring rain. Nala, it's dry. In fact, anything alive, it looks upon it and it scorches it. And then the people that are doing accurate ministry are no longer confident because it's not popular. Yes, sir. The apostolic shovel is heavy to carry. It has never been light at any point. But if we know that that is the only facility by which change can come, let your hands be strong. We await the rise of the true prophetic people. I'm not talking about people of phone number. I'm talking about when they appear, the elders cannot, you know, somewhere, the ecclesiastes could not sit down because somewhere was in their territory. Yes, sir. That is the dread of a man that is hooked to heaven. Those were prophets. Elijah showed up when somebody challenged God. And from the cave, he was a man without a name, without ancestry. The name of his village was not mentioned. He was called Elijah the Tishbite. It's not a name of a village. It means messenger. He was known only by his message. His face was obscure. The Tishbite. Those were prophets with apostolic DNA. That had the burden of territory at heart. It was a 29 seconds declaration that shut the heavens for 3.5 years. Why is it that men don't have that kind of power again? The system was rigged. And something else came first. So what it produced was not the ecclesiastes. So we have all kinds of colors. Everything is blended. I attended a crusade and they were telling me about the altar, that the altar cost 10 million. The altar. Because what? The altar cost? Do you know if I have 10 million and we move into the villages from Naka down and we begin to sink boreholes, you know how many lives would have saved. After sinking the boreholes overnight, we'll come in the morning and say, it's Jesus that sent us. The whole territory has been conquered for generations. But the altar costs how much? You see, God has a quarrel with us because we don't know what to do with money. As long as it's not the apostles that come first, even when money comes, it becomes a problem to God. A church just started in Lagos, and I heard how much they spent to buy land, 1.2 billion. My brother.
Oh, okay, let's there. Because somebody will say, it's because you guys are poor, that's why you are.
If the Ecclesia has 1.2 billion, how much do you think it will cost to really evangelize the Islamic North? Don't you know that a church like Redeem can take over half of Africa? I mean, the burden, the financial burden it would take to conquer the entire scope of Africa. If a Muslim has millions, territory is involved, conquest is involved. The Islamic people have so many universities, but the one in Egypt is the one that trains the jihadists. If you go there for 4 years, you become a jihadist. You hate every life that doesn't bow to Allah. What do we become after 4 years in the church? The pastoral DNA, it keeps you large. I say, come, we have answered to prayer. Mabokoma. You will ride an engine. We meet needs here. So the apostles were being lured to come and serve tables, to accept their pastoral DNA and by discernment. They knew that would have been an error. That was the first battle that they fought. There was a complaint that we needed. There's a model we need. That's the model we have now. And priests have been raised to that model. I choose not to be one of them. It's a choice. Nothing will happen except the Ecclesia rises. Are you still with me? Now we have a genuine prayer point that God will answer. We need the elders at the gate. The government must come again. Surveillance and oversight must come again. The domineering dimension of kingdom advance must be part of our DNA again. The will to conquer, the will to redeem the heritage of God that has been lost in our land. If that's the fire that burns you, then you have good fire inside of you. And we will not stop until the knowledge of the glory of God covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's the call of our generation. Marriage needs to take a different meaning under the apostolic auspices. It's a tag team formulated to advance the kingdom. It's not about going to Sun City and running naked on the beach. It is a tag team. We must have an in-house strategy of ensuring that the product of this union will cause trouble to the kingdom of God. People must be harvested, cultured, cultivated, discipled at close range to receive the DNA to do that for other people. Something must crystallize because a wedding was called. But this, we even come to church when the wedding finishes at the reception. What's that guy? That Makosa Water, that song, Makosa. Mami water music, that's the one we used to baptize the people in reception. You know, there's the DNA has been affected. Everything must be seen from the line of government, from the line of legislation, to create a passageway so that God can have a platform to do his will. Everything in the system must bear that touch, must bear that tone. That's when the prophet can be pure. That's when the teacher can ground in government and kingdom, so that people will understand the headship, loyalty, commitment to Jesus, and walk under the light of his raging government and fire, Such a person is contagious like a plague. He moves around and his character challenges people's righteousness. And today, Satan is on rampage. And prophetic ministries have raised up altars in diversion. Satan is so important now because there's no Eliezer. Die. Jesus didn't pray that prayer. You see, we did not utter the gospel. The apostles, they are our example. The prayer point they didn't pray is not valid. I'm not saying that the spirit of love doesn't manifest as judgment sometimes. But that's not what we do in church. That's not what we do. A ministry is raised and they say, there we're called to preach prosperity. There's no such ministry. Sorry, there's no such ministry. Does God not prosper people? Of course. Prosperity is not a message. It's a result of alignment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other things. Is he Lord over your life? Then if he's Lord, you study the Bible, you see what he expects from. Money should not be your God. Let's teach Lordship. And the man will know that my problem is that money is my God. And he will begin to pray about it. It should result. Hallelujah. And I say, we are called to preach. You don't have a ministry. God didn't call you. Because those churches are the ones that have caused problems in the body of Christ and scattered Christianity. No, I'm not trying to attack some. It's just that's not the apostolic pattern. It might be big and huge. That's how a cancer is. It's huge. Huge, but it's huge sickness. It's huge. Is huge. Is huge. Wake up! Because our generation will need a new template to run. The things most of us were discipled with. If the Holy Ghost begins to work on your life, you'll need to cast it away. The path of priesthood must open. Access to heavenly portals. Alignment with angelic forces. Tapping into the economy of God, reaching into reinforcement, and representing him that is in heaven. Let's rise on our feet. We have a cry for our generation. The altar falls. The shape of fire has not been seen for a long time. Our sacrifices are not burnt. Our rejoicing is vain. Because the voice of the king is far off. Who shall ascend into the hill of God? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, and has not lifted up his soul to vanity or sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of them that seek thy faith. Arise, O God, of your heritage. Let a voice that cries in the midst of the spirit of man awake with strength. For the time has come. Receive strength for the battle.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Now, Benny Hinn went to India to hold a crusade, I guess for 7 days. The result of the crusade was that 17,000 churches emerged. 17,000 churches because an evangelist passed through a land. That's apostolic DNA. One man passed through India, and the result was what? Seven. That means 17,000 pastors had work to do because of one evangelist for 7 days. Today we have half a government of an archbishop and a host of bishops presiding over an assembly. What are they presiding over? Is it not offering? 7 days, 17,000 churches. The parliament of India had, there was a revolt, but the Senate president was a Christian. So the next year, he invited him again. And then, you know, that next year was an election that would lead to another parliament. There was a fight. There was a fight. That man still won. That's why you need apostles in Senate that can stir the maize and make the kingdom advance. The maize must be stirred by a prophet. God brought out an entire nation from captivity. Those days, prophets were identified with nations. Elijah, Moses. But today our own prophets, they don't have a word for the nation, because the DNA, the operating system, is Windows 98. There is a perspective that you can sustain that will release your potentials in Christ. It will release the power that is in your spirit. And it will make your voice heard. That is when you can use political office rightly. Every potential, every sword, every man on horseback strives to one end only, that the kingdom of God might be made manifest. What will you build? Because for most of the time, we're expecting a breakthrough. That's not the orientation. We are expecting that the kingdom of God will extend. That's what brings the resources in the first place. When men are sold out to the cause of God, what will you build? What will you build? Want to ask that the Lord will release the angel of Nigeria to stir the waters. that the spirit of the Ecclesiastes across the length and the breadth of the nation will be stirred. Yes, a new government is about to come into office, but the government is not. You don't need to be in government to be in power. If we know what it means to be the Ecclesiastes, there are things you can stir over your city that witchcraft will not be able to prosper. You can provoke a strange handwriting to write upon a wall that no diviner can read. Our generation has many more reasons to be afraid than to be in faith, because the DNA has been misplaced. We want to ask that God, there was a fire you had before, a perspective that you sustained, something that was raging on your inside. It burned so much that you forgot about yourself. But today, you are the agenda. Meanwhile, salvation, even though it was like God was setting up salvation because of us, as a carnal man, the purpose of salvation is to bring us back into the kingdom. It has never been about you. Always been about God. That the angel of this country, this nation, stir the spirits of the Ecclesiastes. There is a need for multiplied strength. I know some of us are domiciled in territories that are hostile. There is a need for strength in the inner man. Sometimes pressures are brought to bear upon you, not just by men, but by demons. Can we ask God for strength? That the Holy Ghost might bring help. We need help.